Welcome back, footy fans, to another episode of the Sample Snapshot. State League footy reviews are beginning. We have got through about a month of Sample W play, and we're getting ready for the start of the senior league play. So we got to sit down and talk some Sample W and Sample. Joining me today, unfortunately, Darce Evans is a little busy, cannot join us today. So as always, my other co-host, caller extraordinaire, Mr. Phil Aspinall. Phil, great to see you, sir.
Hey, Donnie. Hey, viewers. Great to be on board, mate. And always wonderful to talk Sample W. We've, of course, been discussing the women's competition, but round one's only 2 days away. Can't wait for the 2024 Host Plus Sample men's competition to get underway.
Yeah, so as I was telling Phil off mic a little bit, I went from just a little bit of footy to a lot of footy, and it gets even bigger this weekend with the Sandful, the Waffle, and the VFL just got started last week. So I went from just a little bit of footy to a lot of footy in a short amount of time. But you know what? I absolutely love it. Let's jump right into it, sir. We've got a month of Sandful W to cover and a little in the preview of round one for the league to get started. So let's jump to it. Your thoughts in the first month of Sample W, because I remember in our preview, we had some thoughts. We were kind of right, but there's a few surprises here.
Yeah, there's a couple of surprises, and I think none more so than the two top teams. I mean, I dub Glenelg to be an improving side. I think they've got some good recruits that have come in, but they've taken all before them so far, Donnie, and they're sitting the season top of the table with four wins consecutively, and did a dumber on the Doggies in round three, which we talked about off air. And the other surprise, I think West Adelaide for sure. We know that they finished towards the bottom end of the table last season, and they've got some good recruits, some players that have come back from AFLW experience like Hannah Button, and I think the Bloods are in good stead. And it'll be interesting, we'll talk about this shortly, but it'll be interesting to see where the sides go after round five when the AFLW eligible players no longer participate at Sample W level.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Let's jump right into it. I'm super excited on this because round one was the first week of March. I know we're going back a little bit, but I have to say, this was an insane round of footy, because just looking at it, except for one match, all of the rest of the games were within a goal, were within 7 points. So really quickly to remind everybody, Westies get a kick after the siren to knock off the Panthers 49-46. What a great way for Westies to start off their season with an after the siren kick. Your Central District's Bulldogs begin their defense of their premiership with a strong win, a 2-point win over Norwood 35-33. Stern edge the Woodville West Torrens Eagles 55-48. And Glenelg beat the North Adelaide Roosters 29-7. Let's just go to it. I mean, game of the round has to be the first game again, just like it was last year. The Westies getting a win over the defending runners up 49-46, kick after the siren. How epic was this game? This hit everywhere. As we were saying off mic, the AFLW and the AFL were tweeting about this. This was insane.
Yeah, some great airtime for one of my colleagues, Phil Hurden, a good mate and mentor of mine, who called the winning goal being kicked through by young Emma Kilpatrick, her first goal at Sample W level. And to do it after the siren was pretty special and summed up beautifully in the moment by Phil. And it was a high-scoring game to kick off the season, Donnie. 7 goals apiece, so 14 games combined. And it was a pretty high-quality level. And South Adelaide showed that they're an improving side and they'll be one to watch, but definitely we've seen that organic growth from the Bloods filtered in with some quality, like a Lauren Young, who kicked 1-2 on the night. So a great way to kick off the season with that after the siren win to the Bloods.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I remember I have a couple of AFLW players that I know of. I literally tweeted at them going, "You guys got to see this." And I thought that was pretty epic. It was a great way to start the season. But it was just a great round of footy overall. Like I said, the Glenelg North Adelaide one was the only one that was a little disappointing, but the rest of them, Sturt with a cracking game against the Woodville West Torrens Eagles. I really liked what Coach Narelle Smith is doing this year. Sturt just a little too classy in the end. And the Doggies, again, strong, again, showing they would. And it was a nice showing for Brad Farrell's first game for Norwood. I actually really, like I said, it fell a little bit short, but still a strong showing by Norwood. And I think for some good things to come, we'll jump to round two, where we see Glenelg beat Sturt by 26, 57, 31. Norwood beating South Adelaide 45, 25. Westies continue the winning streak, beating North Adelaide 35, 17. And the Doggies beating the Woodville West Torrens Eagles 54, 32. Little more lopsided matches in this, but I have to say, I was to see the defending runners up, South Adelaide, go 0-2 to start the season again. I think that we were questioning a little bit how strong they would return this year with some of the experience leaving. But again, Brad Farrell's first ever win as a CFLW coach was impressive, with the Legs getting that 20-point win.
Yeah, it was a good win for them, an important win. And as you touched on, Rick Watts' girls, the South Adelaide Panthers, off to a slower start than they would have liked. But you did also mention the high turnover of players. And I think it might have just taken a couple of weeks for the girls to all gel together under some fresh faces, some new players going through their system. So they got better as the season had progressed, and we'll touch on that, particularly with their strong win over North Adelaide the following week. So, yeah, Brad Farrell, spoke to him before the game when I called this Doggies Norwood game, and he was excited, obviously disappointed in the end that they did go down in that one, but made amends for it here with a strong win against the Panthers the week later.
Definitely. For sure. We'll move on to the next week. And I have to say this week was a little marred for me because of the weather. If I remember, this was the week where every single one of the league games was moved to, I believe it was Saturday morning, because of the heat. And I remember seeing getting a text message, that all the games had been moved because of the weather. And I was like, oh God, that's not good. I knew it was probably going to be a lot of fun on that one. So this one, I'm interested. Do you think this affected, like, I know question out of nowhere. I'm sorry about this. Do you think this affected some of the results? Because there were a few results that were a little lopsided in this round, I think, just because the weather kind of threw off start times on this.
Yeah, it would have, and it wouldn't have been ideal for the girls' preparation when they're used to, you know, being at the ground about 11 o'clock and playing at, you know, 12 or 1 o'clock. So, you know, you're kicking off as early as you are. You have to be up earlier. Your routines are a little bit out of whack, but it was a common sense decision. We got to, you know, 40 degrees Celsius here in Adelaide, and I attended one of the men's trials that was at 9 o'clock between Norwood and North Adelaide, and lucky to sit in an air-conditioned corporate box. But, you know, at 9:30, you go out to the middle of the ground to check the conditions, and it was humid as well, Donny. So that's just very draining physically on the body and the mind. So the sample definitely made the right decision from a player welfare perspective. And as we said, with the lopsided results, I think it impacted some sides more than others. But I also think the quality of teams out there that had the stronger wins was really shining through. And in particular, as we touch on now with the first win for Glenelg, defeating the Dogs very comfortably and sending a message to the Sample W competition that the Glenelg girls are up and about this year.
Yeah, 75-33 win there. South Adelaide beating North Adelaide 51-9. Westies and Sturt having a cracking game that I thoroughly enjoyed watching, a 35-24 win for the Bloods. And Woodville West Torrens Eagles beating the Norwood Redlegs 43-38 in a game that I remember going back and forth with Brad Farrell about this. And I think the one thing, the one joke that I almost heard that I heard on the broadcast was, is if the goalposts could show bruises because of the Redlegs shooting on goal, they would have had them, because I can't tell you how many posters I saw in this game that, I mean, literally, if just one goes through the regular uprights, Norwood wins this game. Woodville West Torrens will take the victory. I know Norrell Smith will not take a gift horse in the mouth on this one. Her ladies played really well. 7-1 is a very good score. But, I mean, Woodville West Torrens are kicking themselves. They probably should have won this game.
Yeah, exactly. Norwood 5-8. So what's that? 13 scoring shots to 8. So, yeah, wasted opportunities in front of goal, perhaps. And I'm pretty sure Josh Teakle, the media guy at Norwood, put out a pretty cheeky post that particular goalpost, I reckon it was hit 6 times. And that's amazing. So. You might not necessarily have 6 posters in a game, let alone that same exact post every time. So, yeah, they were a little bit unlucky there. But class, I think, shone through for Norrell's girls. And I think Mackenzie Dowrick, she's a former AFL-listed girl, with Adelaide and West Coast, and she kicked 3 on the day, and she was just the focal point that I don't think the Eagles have had in their first few years in the competition, and now they've got someone they can focus their forward forays on, and they're kicking winning scores, as was the case in this one.
Yeah, it was definitely, and then again, Westies beating Sturt again. Sturt really showing up again. I think it's another one of those bad kicking is bad football. Sturt kicks a couple of those through. We've got ourselves a little bit of a different game. South Adelaide bouncing back over West Adelaide, and Glenelg just absolutely class personified again. Piper Window and so many of the AFLW girls that they do have show their class for the Bays. We jump to the final round that has played so far, as we saw a cracking game between the top two 1v2, as the Glenelg Tigers just edge the West Adelaide Bloods 24-21. We'll go back to the score because I think it's kind of misleading a little bit. We'll go back to it. North Adelaide put a little bit of scare into Norwood, but Norwood fight back and get a big win, 41-16. South Adelaide with a nice win over the Woodville West Torrens Eagles, 45-10. And Sturt putting on a big score on the Central District's Bulldogs, kind of saddening a nice 50 game marker for Georgia Madigan and the Central District's Bulldogs, 72-42. But we got to talk about it. Top of the table clash does not disappoint. But if you're the Glenelg Tigers, you kind of look and you go, you probably should have won this by a lot, because 212 was the final score. 12 behinds kicked. You win a game by three. But you're almost, if you're West Adelaide, you're going, whew, we were in that game, because Glenelg kept us in the game with wayward kicking.
Yeah, and we talked earlier about bad kicking is bad football, but blustery conditions, it is always quite tricky at High Sense Stadium. It's an inner western suburb stadium just outside the CBD of Adelaide, and it somehow picks up a bit of a pocket of a westerly breeze and becomes quite swirly. So in recent times, all the games I've commentated there, I did an under-18s game on the weekend just gone, and yeah, conditions can be very tricky, not to say the least, but doesn't discourage the fact that, Glenelg should have won by a fair bit more. That's what, 14 scoring shots to six. But we talked earlier and off air about some of the AFLW girls, and none more so than Piper Window. After this week, round five, those girls aren't eligible to continue to play Sanford W, and the Tigers will no doubt miss her because she's just a class above the reigning Best and Fairest medal winner in the women's competition. And I think the Tigers will miss her dearly.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. We'll discuss that just a little bit more later in the burning question section again. So I'm fascinated. A fun round, a fun first four rounds of footy. Like I said, we've seen some trends. We'll discuss those here in just a second. So we'll go to the burning question section of the podcast. I'm fascinated on this because, as we saw, we kind of some trends. So we'll start off first one. Glenelg at the top of the ladder. How far or how long can they go unbeaten? Unfortunately, as we said, the looming round five ending of eligibility for AFLW may affect the Tigers probably the most when it comes to the competition.
Yeah, look, it will, but I think they've got a lot of depth in their development league side or their reserves girls. And I looked at some of the team listings from the development side, and that gives you an indication of depth. And there's girls that have played league footy over the last 3 or 4 years, and it just shows that when they're bringing some class in, the next level down needs to be at that to higher grade. And these girls coming back in, once the AFLW girls go out the Piper Windows and the like, that there'll be plenty of depth in the reserves side for Glenelg that can come in and really do the job. So yes, it'll impact the competition, and yes, it'll impact the Tigers probably more so than any. But I think they're playing good enough footy across the two respective sides to cover those losses.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting. I'm just looking at some of their next upcoming games, and I mean, it's not like it's a murderer's row. I mean, this round they have South Adelaide, which I think again should be a test, but with the AFLW girls, you would think they would win that. They face Norwood round six, so that first round after, how does that back up? Norwood would lose Najwa Allen, but really that's it when it comes to the Red Lakes. So it'll be interesting on that. Then round seven, they play Woodville West Torrens. So again, it kind of depends. Again, Sample W sometimes can have some wacky results. Sometimes it's just a day, as we saw with the 212, and you still win a game of footy. So it'll be fun. I'm excited for Glenelg. We'll definitely see how the coaching staff adjust when Piper Window and some of their AFLW girls do leave. But again, they're a really solid side. They're going to be fun to
And
watch.
I think the other thing, Donnie, that Lexi Edwards will probably use to her advantage is, I just had a look at the same scheduling forward moving forward. They've got their next six games in a row at home. So that's a pretty strong way to finish a 12-round season when in the back half of the year, 14 rounds rather, the back half of the year, you're playing like two-thirds of your games at home in front of your home crowd, familiar surroundings for the girls. So that'll be beneficial for the Tigers, I think.
Yeah, that definitely. Home cooking, not having to go anywhere, you know the ground even well, you know the dimensions. I agree on that one. So let's jump to it. The story so far of the first four rounds is the Bloods of West Adelaide. They have been a pleasant surprise. I think in our preview show, we were all kind of talking about potentially being down there with North Adelaide in this in the spoon kind of category. So for them to be second on the ladder so far, do you think they can stay in the finals picture, knowing that unfortunately you will lose Lauren Young after Lauren Young and a couple other AFLW girls after this round?
Yeah, look, I think they will, and yes, that's quality players to go out of the side. In particular, Lauren Young, who's obviously won the first Sanford W medal for the girls at West Adelaide. But they've got some quality players, and I speak straight off the cuff of Zoe Venning. She's averaging over 25 possessions a game. She's their reigning best and fairest. And I think what we find with West Adelaide is, outside of those known girls, the Zoe Vennings and the others that we are familiar with, there's some lesser likes that get the job done most weeks. And Lucy Boyd, super consistent. She had 20 odd touches in the game last week. Jessica Chia, they share the load really well. And then on top of that, we touched on it earlier. You then bring in someone that's got some experience at AFLW level, like a Hannah Button.
Button.
And she's a tackling machine. She's leading the competition in tackles. And I'm sure if you ask Bruce Dawe, the coach of West Adelaide, where their weaknesses have been in recent years, it was probably strength around the footy. And Hannah brings that in spades. So I think they'll go well in the back half of the year. And I still think West Adelaide, they might drop a peg or two, but I still see them playing finals.
It'll be very, very interesting to see how it goes. I'm excited to see how a lot of these coaches that do have AFLW players, how they adjust come the second half of the season. It'll be very, very interesting. So we'll go to one a little bit closer to your heart on this one. Unfortunately, Centrals have dropped two in a row, and I know it's not panic stations. I'm not screaming the world's on for the roof is on fire. OMG. But unfortunately, two losses. Are there any concerns in Doggies land that the competition has caught up, and can the Doggies bounce back and make sure that they're there when the whips are cracking come finals time?
I think they'll still be around the mark, Donny, but I think also that it's shown that the other clubs have got better. They've been at the top last year, and they're the benchmark, and other clubs have certainly shown that they've got to recruit better in the off-season, develop from within, and the likes of Glenelg and West Adelaide are getting that organic growth that I've talked about. South Adelaide had a slow start, but then turned it around. So you just got to look at the ladder to see, apart from North Adelaide at the bottom of the table, where they haven't had a win. The Eagles are 1-3, but they've played some pretty tight, close footy. The competition is even, so you've got to take your chances each week. And the Doggies have been a little bit unlucky. They've lost a couple of key players through injury. We talk about unheralded players, and you talk about Georgia Madigan, a good defender for the Bulldogs. They lost Shannon Murphy in the off-season to an ACL, and she's gone for the year, which is a terrible blow for the Dogs' defensive strength. And I think that's where they've probably leaked a few more goals than they normally would. So not panic stations by any means, but you had a good start. Ben Hunt's girls, two wins to start the season. They definitely wouldn't want to drop the next one. And I suppose if you're looking at their opposition, they're probably a little bit thankful that they're playing the Roosters, who are struggling this year.
Yeah, definitely one of those that you thank God for little miracles at times, and especially considering. And I know that they did have the one game where they were without Shelby Smith, and I think it was round three. And she's such a stabilizing feature for them in the middle. I know you've got Caitlin Wendland, who's an incredible left foot. It's been fantastic seeing her back with the Central District's Guernsey. And again, Caitlin Rosenwig up forward is absolutely fantastic. I think I heard in the last broadcast she's the official leader for goals kicked for Sanford W, which is fantastic. So the Doggies will be fine. I don't think there's any concern, but it's just two in a row, and in the first two, you're kind of mired back a little bit in the pack. So I was interested to hear what you had to say.
Well,
We've
there'll be one,
discussed.
Donnie. Sorry, there'll be
Go
one
ahead.
that will be impacted by the AFLW girls going out. And I think immediately of Julia Teakle. She's a quality key forward that helps Rosenzweig out. When she takes the best opposition defender, that allows Caitlin Rosenzweig to get the second best defender. So Teakle's one that I think, and Olivia Levicki, who provides some ruck depth, that are both power-listed girls. Centrals will need to just test their depth in terms of covering the big girls once the AFLW girls aren't eligible.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting, which is kind of a perfect transition, because I wanted to say, is there a team that you're a little concerned with when it comes to like I said, the AFLW eligibility is looming after this next round of round five? Unfortunately, AFLW girls will go back to their AFLW squads to get ready for preseason training. I know for some weird reason preseason training seems to be longer than the season for some weird reason. I'm not 100% sure why. Do you think there's a team that's going to be the most affected by this, besides kind of the ones we've discussed, with Glenelg having three or four, the Duggies having two or three, and I know South Adelaide has at least one or two as well.
Yeah, look, there's a few teams that are going to be impacted more than others. And I think if you look at it from a finals calculations perspective and that impact that it will have on those sides looking to play the major round, and of course, all of them are. But I do think those two sides we touched on, Glenelg and Central, might feel the pinch the most. Glenelg, maybe with a bit of the quantity in terms of the numbers of them, but the quality side of it from a Central perspective. And, Nord have got a couple in there as well. South Adelaide, some girls with the Crows. Jess Waterhouse is one that is really important for their forward goal kicking prowess. So teams will just have to find a way. They'll make do with the other players. Emily Brockhurst has stepped up for the Panthers, leads the competition at the moment for this season for goal kicking with 7 or 8. So teams will find a way. I think the Double Blues might have a couple there that'll impact them, and they'll be on the cusp of playing finals this year for mine. So I think in a 14-week expanded season, the next month block of footy is, particularly with those new circumstances without AFLW girls, that's going to really test the sides accordingly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see the depth of each of these teams as it goes on. Again, the ladder is still very early, but again, 14 rounds, fantastic. Cannot wait for it. So we'll get to my last burning questions. We'll throw the men's season in again. Round one will begin this week. So I want you to look at the fixture really quickly. What's the one game from both men's and women's that you really can't wait to see?
Yeah, look, it's always a great way to kick off the season from a men's perspective with two Eastern Suburbs rivals, Norwood and Sturt. They're only a couple of kilometres away from each other, and nothing better than an opening season game at Coopers Stadium, Norwood Oval. That'll be tomorrow night, 7:40 Adelaide time, with the Redlegs and the Double Blues. The Double Blues for mine are probably going to be the premiership favourites. If you look at them right now, they've recruited selectively. Glenelg, of course, the reigning premier, beat Sturt in the grand final. But I think Sturt are looking really good for a solid year this year. And Redlegs, well, of course, 0-8 to start the year last year in their title defence from the flag the year before. So, yeah, for mine, Good Friday footy is going to be good across the other four games. But the Thursday night season opener, I think, is going to be a cracking one that John Nankervell and Tom Eglinton, a talented young commentator, is going to be broadcasting that one on the Sandful now. So, Redlegs and Double Blues for mine, that'll be the cracker for the start of the year.
All right, and then in the women's, I think that Sturt Red I think the Sturt Redlegs ones in the women's should be just as interesting at Thevi Oval. That'll be fantastic. Be fun to see how Woodville West Torrens does against the Westies as well. So a couple of cracking games in on the women's side as well. So
Yeah,
let's
looking
do
forward
it.
to seeing the Glenelg game versus South Adelaide. I think the Panthers are showing some good improvement as well after
Very.
dropping the first two, and well, Glenelg were taking all before them. So for mine, that'll be a really challenging game for South Adelaide, and perhaps a good depth tester for where their season's at.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those you hate saying it. It's for any North fans that are listening to it. I mean, no disrespect on this, but it's like all the other games except for the one that North Adelaide is playing in, I'm super intrigued with because I think there's so much. Again, you almost look at it and you go, I think there's seven teams vying for finals. I think every single one except North Adelaide, I think are still vying for finals. Woodville West Torrens are not out of it. Central Districts, yes, they're 2-2. I mean, the latter really is kind of. It's sitting in that point where a couple of wins one way, a couple of losses another way, and this thing could flip on its head. So I'm
Agreed.
super, super intrigued by this. I think Sturt has looked classy. Norwood, I think they just need to find that one little thing. I trust Brad Farrell in this. I think what he's done has been fantastic. And I still have that feeling, though Norell hasn't had the wins. Woodville West Torrens, I love their style. They're kicking, they're attacking the corridor, and I think if they catch a team just right, they're gonna nip somebody. And if they do, it could get them on a roll. So there's just tons of intrigue. And like and with South is yes, they're gonna lose some experience, but again, South is just so good. They're one of the more consistent teams in the competition. So man, I mean, seven teams, that's a lot of fun. Again, North Adelaide, I mean, no disrespect, but I just think this year. You're running into a buzzsaw of a competition. They'll get a win. They'll nip somebody. There's just no way they won't. But I just don't think they're going to be there. I just don't think they're going to be there when the whips are cracking. So let's jump to predictions. Let's start with the senior. Well, let's start with the men. I'm going to do this opposite. Everybody goes with ladies first. The ladies have They're into their fifth round. So I want to start with the men. I want to take you out of the women's for just a little bit. We'll start tipping the men. First game, game one, as you said, Cooper Stadium, Norwood v. Sturt, the old rivalry here. Who do you like in this matchup?
Look, I do think Sturt on paper, having seen the teams released just an hour or so ago here in Adelaide, the Double Blues look very strong. They've got those recruits that come into the side and they're quality players as well. Will Snelling, some time with Essendon in the AFL, former West Adelaide Premiership player. So Bloods fans not happy he didn't go home there, but he'll add some class to their midfield. And keep an eye out for a young guy called Sam Conforti from Essendon in the VFL. He's a goal-kicking forward, and I think the Double Blues will be too strong in this one. It will be a cracking game. I think Nord will be pretty keen to start their year off good in front of the home crowd. But I reckon the Sturt side by maybe two or three goals.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Sturt win this one, but I think this should be a cracker. Great way to start the Sandfall off. North Adelaide Roosters host your beloved Central District Bulldogs at Prospect Oval. Head or heart tip on this one?
I'm going to go heart with this one. I think Centrals have got some really exciting players coming in, and their midfield in particular excites me. They've brought in some talented players. Young Cade Dittmar from the Waffle. He's a very strong-bodied midfielder. Harry Grant, the reigning, obviously, McGarry medalist, a very talented midfielder there as well. Unlucky to maybe not get drafted into the AFL. And I think the smaller deck of prospects suits Central's new game style under coach Paul Thomas and Aiden Grace up in attack. I think very capable full forward. So a lot of unknown with North Adelaide. They've got a lot of players that are coming in that will test the depth for the Roosters. And I reckon the Doggies might just get the points on Good Friday.
I'll tip with you on this one. I like the Doggies. It'll be interesting to see how that one goes. All right, Flinders University Stadium as South Adelaide host the Adelaide Reserves on this one. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I hate to say this off the cuff, and South supporters, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I'm sure you probably know that you're feeling some pain. They've lost a lot of experience, over 500 games of senior experience. Matty Rose, Matty Broadbent, their captain or former captain, Keegan Brooksby, announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago. So this is going to be a bit of a North Adelaide women's type season, I think, unfortunately, for the South Adelaide men. And the Crows AFL reserve side won't be as strong as they've been in previous years, but they'll be way too strong for a pretty inexperienced Panthers side on the weekend. So, yeah, Adelaide comfortably.
Crows on that one for me. The coaching debut of Big Sam Jacobs for the Woodville West Torrens Eagles as at... Okay, I totally am not 100% sure on how to pronounce that oval, so I'm not going to butcher it.
Kia Oval.
All right. Well, we'll go with that.
Give the sponsor the plug.
It's fine. Woodville West Torrens hosts the West Adelaide, like I said, and Sam Jacobs opening in first ever game. Can Sam get a win in his first game, or do the Bloods spoil the opener for Coach Sauce?
Yeah, look, it's a fascinating choice by the Eagles to appoint Jacobs. Of course, a great career at AFL level with the Crows and Western Sydney Giants. And apart from maybe being a bit of a senior player and kind of standing coach for Ardrossan in one of the York Peninsula Country Leagues, no real coaching experience. But all the players you talk to, and I went to the season launch yesterday, Joseph Sinewell, the captain of the Eagles, made mention that he's just a wonderful coach, a great modern-day communicator, and the Eagles are up and about. They've done some good recruiting. Their preseason was okay, but so was West Adelaide's. And I saw two of Westie's three trial games and super impressed. Adam Hartless guys are really playing some good footy, some confidence amongst them, some selective recruiting. And well, this one, the two sides, they're only about 2 kilometres away from each other. So the Western Suburbs rivals. I'm commentating this one with good friend and colleague Chris Kendall. And I think we might just be calling an Eagles home game for their first up win at home.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a homer pick on this one. I love Sam Jacobs. The chat was so much fun. I really hope he gets the win here to open up his Sandfall account here. And the flag gets unfurled at Stratorama Stadium as the Glenelg Tigers host the Port Adelaide Reserves. I'm not going to call them the Magpies because they really aren't. So, but we'll keep out of that one. So can the Tigers start off a defense of their premiership, or do Port Adelaide spoil the party?
Look, I think the Tigers will. I think they will get the win done. Port Adelaide are going to be another interesting one with the AFL reserve side, and it might come down to what the AFL power side does from a selection perspective and whether they hold any players back. So the top-up talent will be tested, I think, by both AFL clubs in the reserves. And Port Adelaide, you'll see some youngsters that haven't been able to get league games at other Sandfall clubs, so then they're getting their opportunities now, and I don't think the depth will be there for them. And Glenelg have got a class across every line, haven't they? Their former premiership captain Max Proud retired and then came out of retirement. They can bring in some players returning from AFL with Oscar Adams and the like coming back. So for mine, I think Glenelg at home should win this one by 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think Glenelg start off their season strong. So let's jump to it. Like I said, we are four rounds into the women's competition, round five. I don't think this is going to be too difficult to tip for you, both head and heart wise, as North Adelaide host the Central District's Bulldogs at Prospects Oval. Doggies win this one for me. I just think too strong again. North Adelaide again. I think they'll be the wooden spooners. They'll nip somebody this year, but I just think they're just a little bit too far off the pace.
Yeah, I tend to agree there. There is something in the back of my mind that says exactly what you're leaning towards, that North Adelaide might cause a bit of an upset. The Dogs will need to be switched on and play four quarters of footy. I love that this is the curtain raiser game to the men's game. The Central North game is going to be on Channel 7 on the live broadcast in Adelaide. The girls will kick off the commencement of the day beforehand. So I do think the Dogs will get the points in this one and reasonably comfortably if they play at their best.
Yeah, 100% on that one. Out to Thebe Oval, which again, a classic one, is Sturt take on the Red Legs. This is a fascinating one for me. Who are you liking this one?
Yeah, it's a bit of a toss of a coin for me because both sides have got some up and down form. Sturt were sensational after quarter time. They trailed the Dogs by 3 goals at quarter time last week and then ran away kicking 11 goals, and it was just amazing. Zara Walsh kicked 5. I think the first time in the Sandful W that a lady's kicked 5 goals or more. So it's a great individual effort there. And Norwood, as we know, a bit of a soft spot for them with Brad Farrell and Alice and his wife with the connection that we've got there. But I think Sturt in this one, in the men's and in the women's, they'll do the double.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sturt have looked really, really good. You never know. Maybe a little bit of tongue lashing, maybe a little tongue lashing after that Woodville West Torrens debacle when it comes to kicking on goal. Maybe might have gotten Red Norwood going. I'm going to tip Sturt in this one, but this is a cracker. I think this one comes down to the fourth quarter for sure. Interesting one at Kia Oval, probably a curtain raiser for this one, as the Woodville West Torrens take on the second on the ladder, West Adelaide Bloods. I'm going to tip the Bloods in this one again. Lauren Young will loom large in this one, but I just have the feeling the Eagles are going to be in this one. I think this is going to come down to another fourth quarter performance. Bloods win it, but I think this one's closer than some people think. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think I'm going to go with the visitors on the day, and this one will be the curtain raiser to the men's game I'm commentating, so I'll get along early and watch this game get called. And I think we will see a West Adelaide win. I'd love to see Narelle's side win. I've got a bit of a soft spot for the girls and Narelle. She does some commentary with us and is a wonderful operator. But based on the current form lines now, Westies are playing much better footy, and I think they will get the job done.
Righty, and then from there, the ending of the first round sees Glenelg take on South. As we kind of said, can South pull an upset? Glenelg has looked really, really strong. This is the last game of their AFLW with their AFLW girls. Again, Piper Window gets her last Sample W game of the season. I like the Tigers in this one, but again, the Panthers are a tough side. They're a pesky side. It'll be interesting to see. Tigers win this one. Good cracking game to end the round.
Yeah, and I think Glenelg will win and win comfortably. The Panthers, whilst they're competitive and they'll play some good footy, they've lost Caitlin Couch again, and she's a quality midfielder. And we know the likes of Jess Bates in the middle there for the Tigers. She'll probably go on and win a second best and fairest medal in the competition. She dominates through the midfield and clearances. And for mine, in front of their home crowd, again, a curtain raiser to the men's game. I think the Glenelg girls will get up and sing the song before the men run out.
Alrighty, and that is it. That is all the tips that we have. Again, it's fantastic. We're early in the season, so a little bit shorter of an episode because the men's comp hasn't gotten started, but I'm super excited for this. I think the women's comp has been absolutely sensational. The men's comp sounds like it is going to be absolutely fascinating. Hopefully it gives us just as much as intrigue as the women's comp. So I think you kind of teased it a little bit, Phil. Are you calling a game this round? And then how excited are you to call not only league games now, but also the women's as well?
Yeah, I've got a game tomorrow night, Thursday night in Adelaide with the under 18. So I'm calling with one of the young talented youngsters, Lockie Gould, just a bit of a mentor and commentary there with some of the young guys. And then I'll be calling the men's season opener between the Eagles and West Adelaide with Chris Kendall, a veteran Sandful commentator in his 20th year. So mate, can't wait to get back into the men's competition. Been loving calling the women, really enjoying some of the kids commentators coming through, but the players out there as well and calling them. So It's a great season to have upon us. Host Plus, we want to mention the sponsors. They're a wonderful sponsor of the Sandful. And speaking of wonderful sponsors, it'd be remiss of me to not mention, Donny, one of the alcoholic beverage providers or manufacturers in Adelaide is West End, famous for their Red Tins and a wonderful beer. Many of Red Tins have been drunk after premiership celebrations. And it was mentioned at the season launch yesterday, West End are now celebrating 70 years of sponsorship of South Australian football. So it's the second longest sporting sponsorship in Australia behind the Ford sponsorship with the Geelong Football Club. And it was mentioned yesterday at the season launch that it's possibly one of the biggest sponsorships in sporting coordination in the world. So 70 years as a major sponsor, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without West End. And I've got it on the hat here to give them a plug. No doubt there'll be some boys enjoying a West End beer after their respective wins on the weekend.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I have to say, I enjoy your call outs on the one call, but I got to give you a little bit of stick. I keep telling you, I have not chosen the sample
team
because I want to be neutral. I got to give you a little bit of stick on this because that's twice now. I think you've called me a Norwood man on the on there, and it's like, I want to be neutral. I don't want to pick a team. There's part of me that still kind of kicks myself when it comes to covering the AFL because there are people that call me a homer when it comes to the Swans a little bit. So I try not to. I have soft spots. Yes, I have a soft spot for Norwood. I know Brad and Ali Farrell quite well. I've gotten to know several of their players as well. Incredible group. Woodville West Torrens, again, Coach Narelle Smith and Annie Falkenberg have been incredibly generous with their time going back and forth with me as well. I've had some nice communication. Like I said, Georgia Madigan, I had a lovely chat with her. She was absolutely fantastic. Happy for her getting her 50th game. I'm trying to do as much as I can. There are a couple of clubs I have not been able to get a connection. I know West Adelaide and South Adelaide. I really would love to find some connections there to maybe to get a hold of some players and different things like that. So I want to be neutral, but I just have to give you a little bit of stick because I think that's the second time you call me a Norwood man. And again, I'm not. So for those of you listening, I am a neutral. I'm Switzerland in this. I do not have a team. I do not cheer for one team. I cheer for the competition. I think the competition is fantastic. The people of South Australia have been so generous with their time in so many communications. I know I have several South Australian fans that reach out. They're so happy when these episodes come out because they love hearing me talk about with you about this competition that has so much history and such great, fantastic clubs. So
I'll just put it down as you're a blanket Sandful W supporter across all clubs. You love the competition. And you're, like you said, you touched on it beautifully. You have some soft spots more for some clubs than others. And I'll make sure I do my best as well, mate, to reach out to some of my contacts in those clubs you haven't got communication with. And we'll see if we can get some interviews teed up for you.
It would be fantastic. And I know at one time you were talking with Keegan Brooksby, who I would love to have him on the podcast. I know he's got such a rich history. And then I would love to be able to find his other half because
Abby Holmes
is fantastic. I absolutely love her. She's fantastic. She's a great footy community. And I know she has such a rich history, both in South Australia and in the NT as well. So it's one of those, if I could find a way to talk with either of them or both of them, that would be absolutely magnificent. So
I'll reach out to Keegan for you, mate. I know him well, and I've communicated with him on socials before. So I'll send him a message on your behalf and we'll see what we can tee up.
That is fantastic. Again, I he's retired now. I don't want to take up too much of his time, but I think that would be a magnificent chat to talk with somebody that knows the ruck game just as well as Sam Jacobs as well. So ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for another episode of Sandful Snapshot. Again, keep an eye out, more reviews coming. The VFL has gotten started. I know evil VFL went on the Sandful show. I'm sorry. VFL and VFLW is getting started. Those shows will come up. Waffle and Waffle W show will be here in the next week or so. We were supposed to do it, but unfortunately some scheduling issues with Paul Persick kind of ruined that. Again, nothing to him. Sometimes that's podcasting. Stuff happens. So hopefully next week we will have a Waffle review of both of round one and of the first month of play in the Waffle W, which has been fantastic just as much. So more footy coverage still to come. Thank you again for listening. And we'll be back again with another episode of Donnie's Disposals very, very soon.